This year, once again, we'll be thinking about the danger we can be in if we don't listen to God. And it all started right at the very beginning when God made a wonderful world, a perfect world, no sin. He made Adam and Eve to be his special friends. Very important to understand that. And then Satan came along and whispered to Adam and Eve, and they listened to Satan. He said, "You tell me, you listen to God?" Then he listened to God, and he loved his fruit. He just loved his fruit. And as he listened to God, they sinned, and God was angry. And God's been angry with the sin, with sinners, ever since. And that's why God had to destroy the world with the flood, in God's sake, because men's hearts are so evil. But God doesn't enjoy punishing people. He says so in today's text. God doesn't enjoy punishing us. And if we listen to him, if people listen to him, we don't need to be punished. We can trust him. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No forgiveness for our sins, and not to punish, we go to heaven. And that's exactly what Noah did, didn't he? He listened to God. Saul didn't listen to God. To start with, he thought he'd do it his way. But in the end, he listened. And God rescued him, as God rescued Noah. Now today, it's about a man, and probably you'll know the story very well, about a man, he's on his way now, who was a prophet of God. Now that meant he was God's messenger. Now obviously he had to listen to God, didn't he? If he was God's messenger, God spoke to him, he had to listen to God. So we know he was one of God's special friends. And you think, well, he's been right, aren't he? One of God's special friends, he listens to God. He obviously asked God to forgive his sins and to be a priest of God. He was a prophet. And he was a Jew. Well, one day, then, God came to him and said, "You're my prophet. I want you to go to a very wicked city." Put your hands up if you think you know that. "I want you to go to a very wicked city. Huge number of people live there. You've got to tell them, because they're so wicked, God is going to destroy the city." Anybody know his name? Yes. Jonah World. Jonah was told to go to this wicked city. Now Jonah knew all these stories. Jonah knew about the sin of Adam and Eve. He knew about the story of Noah. He knew that story very well. He knew how that Noah had listened to God and was saved, but the other people hadn't listened to God and died in the flood. Jonah knew these stories, but still he thought, "I'm not going to do as God says it." Those people in Nineveh, that was his name, aren't Jews. They're our enemies. Why should I go and tell them what God wants me to tell them? And so Jonah immediately did the most dangerous thing he could have done. He didn't listen to God. And he turned round and went in the opposite direction to what God said. Now that's a dangerous thing if Mum says do that, and you don't do it. You go in the opposite direction to what Mum says, isn't it? It can be very dangerous. You think how dangerous it is, God? I want you to do this. Please. You need to listen to God. So Jonah was in danger. Because Jonah realized that God was kind. Jonah realized God didn't like people dying from their sins. Jonah realized that if he went and told Nineveh, "God says he's going to destroy your city," Jonah felt that perhaps God would be kind to them. Jonah didn't like that idea because he was a Jew, and just like Saul, he felt the Jews needed to keep God to themselves. So he ran away to the sea to a place called Joppa. Listen to that in the Christianite. To a place called Joppa. A busy seaside town, lots of boats coming and going. And at Joppa, he thought, "Now, when you get a boat," so he looked at a different boat. "Well, that's a fishing boat, that's no good to get on, because a fishing boat will go back out this morning fishing and come back tonight. That's no good to me." And he saw another big boat, and they were putting cargo on it, crates of fruit, crates of spices. We're all going on this boat, and that boat was going to go on a long, long journey to a place called Tarshish, which was probably in Spain, but right the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. Probably weeks and weeks and weeks to get there. Jonah thought, I'll get on that boat. Because even if God actually comes and says, Jonah, you're going in the wrong direction, I'll better say to God, sorry God, it's too late. It's going to take me 2 or 3 months to get to Spain. Then it'll be winter. I'm going to travel back. I've got at least another year before I have to do what you told me to do, God. He didn't exactly say that, but I think that was partly in his mind. He thought he could run away from God. And so he asked for a ride to Tarshish. And he had to pay up there. So he paid the captain for a journey. And he left the port and they started sailing, and the sun was shining. It's lovely being on the boat when the sun's shining, isn't it? I love being on the sea. It's nice and calm and sunshine. I love going across the France on the ferries, sitting on the deck with seagulls swooping over. And gradually they saw the land disappear into the distance, and beautiful all the way around, all you could see was the sea. Oh, I'm safe, Jonas. Nineveh is miles away now, and all day, every day you travel, Nineveh is getting further and further away. And do you know what? God hasn't spoken to me anymore. God has obviously given up. He's not going to ask me again. I'm too late. I knew I didn't really need to listen to God. We know Jonah was in great danger. Great danger. And it didn't really dawn on Jonah when a storm started, and I don't like storms. The wind started blowing, the boat started going up and down and up and down, the waves got bigger and bigger. And Jonah went down underneath the deck, and he thought, I'll leave this to these sailors, they know how to deal with a storm, I'll go to sleep. So Jonah went down below, and he went to sleep. He didn't really seem aware of the challenge. But the sailors were getting frightened. Remember, these were sailors. They were used to being on the sea. They were used to being on the sea in the winter. But there was something special about this storm. This was a very frightening storm. It was though the storm was trying to destroy the boat. It was as though God was trying to destroy the boat. They were frightened. They were so frightened that although they didn't believe in the true God, they started praying to their God to save them. Well, obviously their God couldn't save them because they weren't true God. Then the captain thought, there's somebody down below. Let's go down. So he came down to Jonah and he said, why are you asleep? We're all going to be drowned any minute. We've never seen such a storm as this. Don't you have a God to pray? So the captain said, I know what we'll do, we'll cast lots. We'll try and find out whose fault this storm is. That's a bit like when you start a game of dice. You say, well, who's going to start the game? You throw a dice. And the person gets sick, starts the game. Well, sometimes today, if you want to try and find somebody else or find out who's going to do it, you say, we'll draw, who draws the short straw? Whose fault it is. And so we say, in turn, the drawer of straw. And we say, person that gets the short straw is the person. And so somebody takes the straw. No, they're all right. Somebody else takes the straw. Oh. Draw the short straw. It wasn't exactly what they did. It's a bit like that. And when it came to Jonah's turn, Jonah was the one. And they all looked at Jonah, and Jonah said, yes, isn't it? And he said, tell us about yourself. Why has this happened? And so he told them exactly what had happened. He was trembling now. He realized he couldn't run away from God. God had spoken to him and he hadn't listened. He said, it's all my fault God has sent this storm. He said, throw me into the sea and you'll be safe. So I can't have you all dying because of me. This is God bringing this storm. God is angry with my sins, with me. Now the text being offered, he was very afraid. If God had made this storm because Jonah was there, how angry would God be if the captain threw Jonah into the water? And that's exactly what they did. They tried very hard, it was really good, and in the end, they got hold of Jonah, and they threw him into the water. But remember, it wouldn't have been as easy as that. Have you ever tried standing on a boat and it's going up and down, so they're trying to stand up straight and try and approach? It wouldn't have been easy. It would have been very, very frightening. Very, very frightening. Then, sailors were terrified, because do you know what happened? Immediately Jonah hit the water, the wind stopped. The sea calmed down almost immediately. And before a few minutes had gone, the boat was going nowhere. The sails were hanging limp, there was no wind, and the water was just like a mill pond, like a sheet of glass. It was so calm. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? That can control the storms like this, like this. And they all fell down the boat and they prayed to Jonah's God, to our God, to forgive them and have mercy on them. Well, what was happening to Jonah? We don't really know what was going on in Jonah's mind. What would have been going through Jonah's mind when they were throwing him into the water? We don't really know. But as he was thinking, the sea was wrapping itself around his legs and his arms. He's taken a deep breath and his breath was running out and he was praying, my old God, I've done wrong, I should have listened to you. Have mercy on me, please, forgive me for being so stupid thinking I could not listen to you. Then suddenly, just like a great torrent of wind, suddenly, hello, he landed inside a cave. It's dark, he was inside a cave and he could breathe. Was it a cave? It was going up and down. He was inside a fish. Inside a great big fish. Now, some people think it was a whale, but the Bible just tells us that God sent and prepared a fish for Jonah. Now, as a Christian, we know the way God works. And I believe that very likely God has prepared this fish specially for this years before. God could have been preparing this fish 5 years before. So it would be exactly the right fish, exactly right to save Jonah. When Jonah was in such danger. And Jonah stayed inside that fish for 3 days. Just like the story yesterday. Remember, Saul was blind and was in the house for 3 days, waiting for another star to give him. And God kept Saul waiting, God kept Jonah waiting. All that time, just like Saul, Jonah was praying to God, asking God to forgive him, to have mercy on him. Then suddenly, just as suddenly as he'd been swallowed by the fish, he felt this great big blast of wind, and he bang, landed on the beach. God, can you imagine how bright the sun was? He tried to open his eyes. He'd been in the dark, and the sun was so bright. Hurt his eyes. And as he stood up and he got his eyes right back a bit, he looked around. Where was he? Spain? Was it Italy? Was it Cyprus? Was it North Africa? Had to leave him. Who he was? He was right on the very beach where his first runner went across. So God had brought him right back to the beginning where he'd been disobedient to God. And then he heard a voice. There's nobody on that beach. The beach was totally empty, but he heard a voice. And the voice said, now, Jonah, please stop being disobedient. Go to Nineveh exactly as I told you. You think that Jonah did this kind of thing? Yeah. Well, eventually, Jonah arrived in Nineveh. It was a long, long journey. It was a massive journey, hundreds and hundreds of miles. But he came to this foreign country, and there, although he didn't really enjoy doing it, still, even though God had been so kind to him, he went through the city telling people what God had told him, that God was going to destroy that city because of the sin in people's hearts. If that is the same sin as in your heart, and if that is the same sin as in my heart, God was going to destroy the city, just as he destroyed Noah, and this time it was the flood. And you know what people did? If they say we're not going to God, no, they all listened to God. If only they'd done that in Noah's day. But the people in Nineveh, even though they were foreigners, they all listened to God. And they didn't eat all day. They put ash on their heads. They tore their clothes because they were so sorry they'd been sinning against God. And they asked God to forgive them. And God said, because they're sorry for their sin, I'm not going to destroy the city. I'm going to show them kindness. I'm going to show them grace. What we learned about last year. Undeserved kindness. So he showed them that kindness. Let me finish this series this year. We look at the way God was kind and gracious, even when people didn't listen to him. We must remember the memory verses we learned. Jesus said, I am the Lord. By me, if any man enters in, he will be saved. When we're sinners and we sin against God, how can we be saved? How can we be right with God? How can we once again become God's special friend? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Is God right for everybody in the world? Saul didn't seem to believe that. Jonah didn't seem to believe that. Did Jesus come into the world to save everybody? Yes. By the many verse they said, God is not willing that anyone should perish. God didn't want the people in days of Noah to perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means to realize we're sinners. We need to say sorry to God for our sins, seek to live our lives in friendship with God. Now the very reason we're having this Bible club this year is so that God can speak to you. And through the choruses we've had, through the stories I've told you from God's Word, God has been speaking to each of you. You have to make your mind up to grasp. Are you going to listen to God? Are you going to listen to Satan whispering, don't take those things then? It's stupid. It's not scientific. It's silly. Are you going to listen to God? The only faith to be, the only faith thing to do, is to listen to what God says. I'd much rather listen to what God says than for everybody in the daily mail and their daily mirror and the sun and the telegraph and the contention. They may be clever, but the most important person to do is God.